This is American Roots. I'm Nick Spitzer in New Orleans. We'll be traveling 500 miles upriver to Memphis to hear from the folks who cross social lines to create Roots Rock and Roll, including our interview with the late Sam Phillips, founder of Sun Records.
I was looking for a white artist to show the kinship, how close it was between poor white people and poor black people.
And that artist was Elvis. So we'll talk about that with Presley's bandmates Scotty Moore and DJ Fontana. And if the last Elvis wasn't enough, we'll hear how everybody wanted to be the next Elvis. Plus music from the other Sun Records heroes, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, and Charlie Rich. In 1954, Elvis had a hit on this song, recorded 8 years earlier by bluesman Arthur Big Boy Crudup. That's All Right on American Roots.
Well, now that's all right, no mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, no mama. Any way you do, but that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, mama. Any way you do. Well, my mama, she done told me. Papa told me, too. The life you live in, son, now women be the death of you. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, mama. Any way you do. Yeah, man. Two is four. I love that woman, but I got to let her go. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, mama. Any way you do. Babe, now if you don't want me, why not tell me so? You won't be bothered with me around your house no more. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, mama. Any way you do.
Shining bright, you're gonna bring me back, come on, baby, tonight. Blue moon, keep shining bright. I say blue moon of Kentucky, to keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. I say blue moon of Kentucky, to keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. Well, the heat was on one moonlight night. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. I say blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining.
shining, shine on the bus, gonna let me blue.
Elvis in 1954 with the flip side to his hit on the Arthur Credup song, That's All Right. Blue Moon of Kentucky was recorded by Bill Monroe's Bluegrass Band as a waltz in 1946. And then after Elvis had the hit, even Bill Monroe re-recorded it and picked it up a little bit. Ray Charles also recorded the song as country. So it all goes around in the world of black and white Southern music. And at the middle of this fusion was the man credited by many as the father of rock and roll, Sun Records producer Sam Phillips, originally from Florence, Alabama, across from Muscle Shoals.
I've always been a very observant person. I was the bottom of eight children and came up through the Depression. And so I learned so much from the feel of black people and poor white trash like me. And it was just an education that I could have never gotten from any university, no matter how great it was. And I wouldn't take anything for the things that I learned.
At what point do you think you realized you had these powers of observation and this ability to kind of see the larger picture, hear the larger picture, and make the step to become a recorder, a producer, or an experimenter?
I knew somehow or the other that I would find my place in the life of sound, because sound fascinated me. A cricket, you know, I look at a cricket and how in the hell does he do that? Sound to me is far and away superior to anything you see with the eyes. I see with my ears.
What happens when you go into the big city, get on the road and get into Memphis? What level does that take it to for you?
I looked for 2 years to find a little place that I could afford the rent on, and I went to all when I found 706 Union, which is now probably one of the most famous addresses in the whole world because of what we did through music and people.
Once you established Memphis Recording Services, who were some of the black artists that came to you or that you sought out that you were able to record?
B.B. King was really the first person to come in. And then I had Sleepy John Estes, Little Junior Parker, Ike Turner, and the word got around, to answer your question, the word got around that you mean there is somebody that won't rip us off and they will record a black man?
I wonder, what was your first big hit with a black artist?
The first real big one was Rocket 88. Because of an accident, we stuffed a guitar amp with brown wrapping paper, and between the sound of the busted woofer and those saxophones, it gave us a sound that was really raw and different.
You women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along.
Now, that broken guitar amp on that session has been referred to as the first use of distortion on a recording. How do you react to that kind of comment?
You know, I think life can be awfully miserable if we look at things as having to be too nearly perfect. I look for an overall feel, F-E-E-L, and I've spelled that thing on every interview I've ever had. I mean, it was a feel with me and what we could get together that counted. People had to enjoy what they were doing, and I let them know that if they really did mess up some, that probably they weren't doing their best.
One of the most famous songs associated with your work and with Memphis is the song Mystery Train. I wonder if you could say a little about how that came to be with Little Junior Parker.
Junior Parker was one of the most talented people ever. Although his voice was not, and I love distinctive voices, he didn't have that, but he had some kind of a feel with his music. The point was that Mystery Train, when they started to rolling, and you could just feel the wheels turning on that old train, you know, and see the smoke coming out of the steam.
How did you approach Mystery Train differently with Elvis than with Junior Parker?
Mystery Train was something that it had its own revolving feel about it. Hell, I think I could have cut a hit on Mystery Train.
Train, train, coming round, round the bend, train, train. Well, it took my baby, but it never will again. Never will again.
What were your early impressions when you first started to meet up with Elvis?
That he was probably more timid and shy than most of the black people that I recorded. You saw a certain element of sweetness, but at the same time, people don't know it, but Elvis was one of the most determined people to do something that was right. And what I mean by that is, I told Elvis, as I told many, many, if not all of the people I worked with, don't you try to please me. And eventually I got Elvis to feel that you cannot do it right if you don't do it wrong.
Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change. Well, I woke up this morning, and I looked out the door.
So in terms of a white artist who pulled the blues in, would you say that you encouraged Elvis to do that, or Elvis brought it to you?
Oh, no. I was looking for a white artist to show the kinship, how close it was between poor white people and poor black people. And no, it was on my mind all along. And when Elvis came along, that's where this idea, like Rufus Thomas has said about me, he says, man, as soon as Elvis came in, he dropped all of us black boys, you know. Well, it's kind of true that I did, but they were being recorded by that time by so many other great labels. I was a one-man show, and I just had to work hard 18 hours a day. I'm just fortunate to have been one of the people that got to do some of the things that, my gosh, he really wanted to do.
And you're going to be sorry for treating me this way.
In December of 56, you had Elvis, Jerry Lee, Carl Perkins, and Johnny Cash all together in your studio. How'd you have the presence of mind socially just to roll tape and make something happen?
I think Johnny was last to come in. I said, man, we got to get this. And I had the presence of mind to tell Jack Clement, who worked for me, a wonderful guy. I said, Jack, we ain't micing anybody, anything. Just go in there and turn the damn tape on, you know, and get it off mic any way you want to. But this will never happen again, probably. And it never did.
Okay, well, I'm very glad to meet y'all. Jack, I'll see you, boy. I'm going home.
Scratching the sonic surface with the late Sam Phillips of Sun Records. Our interview was from 1999. Sam passed away June 30th, 2003. The book Sam Phillips, The Man Who Invented Rock and Roll by Peter Guralnick is a good place to go for the whole tale. And we'll be back with Barbara Sims on her days as a publicist looking for and promoting those who would be the next Elvis when American Roots returns.